My brother had convinced my other brother that there was some magical thing in a chimney that caught the rainwater. Well, he was up on the roof with a bucket of water, and my other brother was convinced to dump it down the chimney. Why, I don't know. I was out in the front yard sitting underneath a tree because Mom had run us out of the house because she was having some kind of meeting. All these ladies come with real nice dresses and hairdo, and oh, they were just looked really nice. And Mom, she had everything set up. You know, she had tablecloths on the table, and everything was so pretty, and there was flower arrangements. And Dennis dumps a whole bucket of water down the chimney. Now, I don't know why my older brother had convinced him there was some magical thing in the chimney that caught the rainwater, but he dumps a whole bucket of water down the chimney when all these ladies were in the house. Oh, my goodness. I was sitting under the tree, and I was watching what was my brothers were doing. I was thinking, what are they doing? How come they got a bucket of water? And then I thought, oh, my goodness, he dumped that bucket of water down the chimney. I couldn't believe he dumped it down the chimney. And then pretty soon you hear screaming and hollering and commotion going on inside the house. Well, pretty soon women start coming out coughing and sputtering and spurting, and this big old cloud of dust comes out. It looked like these women were doing chimney sweeping in their dresses. Oh, my goodness, was my brother in trouble. The nice thing about it was Dad was out of town. So he had to wait until Dad got home and Mom was not quite so mad. Okay, I'm surprised that my older brothers ever made it to puberty, because they were something else. Now, I tell this story because my brother, innocent kid, got slam dunked by his older brother out of bad information. He thought, oh, well, I can dump this in here. It won't hurt nothing. Why he thought he would dump a bucket of water in there is another question. But he was under false information, thinking that there was some magical thing in the chimney that would stop the water and catch it. Well, we're under that illusion also, and that's with a lot of things, with diet, with medications and things like that. You cannot take a poison and take a little bit of it and it not affect your body. And most all pharmaceuticals are poison. That's why we're going to talk about herbs. I wrote a book, Reality of Herbal Therapy. It is also a book that's used in the American Naturopathic Medical Institute for their herbal course of study. I have an apprentice program. This apprentice program is designed to take practitioners, doctors, chiropractors, alternative healthcare practitioners, and train them in herbology, and it's a $1,700 course. This is the course of study. Now, I know that there's a lot of people on the internet, so I need to give you some information. I need you to go to healthandweightlossclinic.com/downloads, and there you can get some information on what we're going to talk about today. Also, I need you to realize that all you have to do is just email us your questions, and I will answer them online. There is about a two-minute delay. I'm not ignoring your questions, but there's about half a minute to a two-minute delay depending on your internet service. If you do send in questions and it's toward the latter part of the class and I don't have an opportunity to address it here online, I will address it in person. Scott, do you have some questions on the internet?
I do have one. There's a young lady.
Come in here and talk up a little louder.
There's a young lady that's having trouble sleeping because she has nightmares, horrible nightmares that keep her up at night. She's just wondering what you would do for that.
Well, I'd want to ask some questions. I need you to think about some things. What do you do the last 20 minutes before going to bed? Do you play zombie games and disturbing movies? What are you thinking about? What are you doing the last 20 minutes of the day? I've seen some video games that are pretty horrific. You know, your subconscious mind, when you go to sleep, your subconscious mind thinks about what you thought about the last 20 minutes, generally. Then in the morning, the same thing. The most powerful time to influence your mind is in the morning and at night. So what I would recommend you do is begin to have a ritual of relaxing, of sitting out with a nice cup of herbal tea and thinking about good things. Read a good book. Read poetry if you like poetry. If you like to play games, do a puzzle, something that's relaxing. Because if you're always thinking, oh no, I'm going to have a nightmare, and I'm going to have a nightmare, and think about the nightmare you had the night before, it just cascades on itself. Then there's an herbal formula called Narcolizer that helps tone up the nervous system. Yeah, it's one of my herbal clinical formulas, and a formula called Chillin. Those two formulas nourish the nervous system so sleep normally and naturally occurs. Are there any other questions? This is a Q&A question, so it's driven by you. Every one of these classes are a little bit different because of the questions that we have. I have one on my table here that didn't get addressed last time that we had a class, and I did type an answer in, but I want to address this because it was very, very heartwarming to me. I had an individual email me some pictures, and the picture was her hand just full of blisters, and she had indicated that she had had this for years, and she said she'd have to hide her hands because they were so embarrassing. She began taking an herbal formula called Blood Wash. Now, skin problems are the result of the bloodstream being so toxic that the liver and the kidneys and the urinary tract is unable to take care of the toxins, so it drives it through the skin. Well, in her case, she had a rash and blisters, and it was terrible. She began to take Blood Wash, and it was only 3 a day, and within 3 weeks, she showed me another picture, and her hand was just red. So that was just really neat to have seen that because of the progress and to be part of that, you know. And it was just 3 a day. So if there's any skin problems, skin eruptions, rashes, Blood Wash is a formula to take. Then I would recommend also using topically and internally coconut oil because the skin greases itself up, so to speak, from the inside out. Jim, you're standing in the doorway. Do you have a question off the internet?
Yeah, somebody wants to know if the doctor wants to put them on statins for high blood pressure, but a friend told them if they increase their magnesium, it will help. Is there enough magnesium in PM minerals to bring down their blood pressure?
To run their blood pressures? Okay, versus a statin for cholesterols and things like that. Okay, I know that that's real common for people to have take a B complex to bring down blood pressure. That works. I believe that it's better if you take a broad based B complex because just taking niacin by itself sometimes outbalances the others. It will for a period of time, but blood pressure is a result of other problems. Let me talk a little bit about blood pressure. When I began in 1980, blood pressure was your age plus 100 was the top number. That's what was the standard in the industry. Doctors would, if you were 80 years old, 180 over 90 was perfectly fine. If you are 20, 120 was perfectly fine. But now their numbers are beginning to change, and it couldn't be that they want to make more money on pharmaceuticals. I'm sure there must be some evolutionary change in our bodies that make it so our blood pressure has to be low. I'm sure it's not about money. But generally, blood pressure is better served if it's your age plus 100. It can be below that, but don't freak out if it's you're 80 years old and your blood pressure is 180. Now, to the point. PM Minerals does not have enough niacin or B complex in that formula to bring down blood pressure. But then again, blood pressure is the result of urinary tract problems and or nervous system. So Bladney and Narcolizer by themselves or together generally bring down blood pressure. Okay, any other questions?
The young lady that asked about sleeping, she responded again. She wanted to know, how many would she take of the Narcolizer in children? And also she mentioned that she's had these nightmares since her aunt's
Okay, and that's a good a good example of what I'm trying to say is that if she in the evening is sitting there thinking about her aunt's house burning down, then of course it's just going to perpetuate that cycle. We have the ability to choose our thoughts. Now, they're so quick that it almost feels like we can think of a million things at one time. We cannot. So she needs to realize, last night, my house didn't burn down. So that's success, okay? And the night before, there was nothing wrong with the house. There was nothing wrong with it. So that success begins, she can build upon that success. Narcolizer, she's looking probably about, in the evening, I'd probably take 4 and 2 chilling. And then as she does that, that begins to make a big difference. Also, Throbbies is a nice, mild formula. If she wakes up in the middle of the night, it's an easier formula to take than Narcolizer. Narcolizer sometimes smells like dirty socks. So it takes a lot, because it has valerian root in it. It takes a lot of water to get that one down, but Throbbies in the middle of the night is much easier. Also, vivid dreams. It's been my experience, people that eat pineapple at night have vivid dreams.
Well, you brought up a question for me personally when you said that. Throbbies in the evening, if they're still having trouble sleeping, is that because of the peppermint in there?
It's a circulatory factor, and it's such a mild, I use it with pain. And it's a mild relaxant, and it just soothes it opens up the circulation. It just relaxes the nervous system. The neurovascular system is basically what it relaxes. We have the circulation. We have veins going through our system. And then what we have along with that is called the neurovascular system, and it's basically the nerves that accompany the circulation. And when we're under stress, it constricts, and the reason it constricts is when, a big old dinosaur is chasing us, so we constrict so that there's more blood flow to critical areas, okay? But dinosaurs don't chase us anymore, okay? We got employers that chase us, and we got dogs that chase us, and bill collectors that chase us, that kind of stuff. So the neurovascular system is affected by Throbbies. Throbbies is an awesome formula. It's a very simple formula, but it's a tremendous formula. And also, as we're talking about Throbbies, Throbbies is awesome for fever. So if you have fevers, Throbbies make a big, big difference just with fevers alone. Okay? Let me tell a little story. I had an individual that was trained as an herbalist. And every time she would look at my formulas, she would say, I don't understand your formulas. I know that they work. I just don't understand them. Let me tell a little bit about my background. When I was young, I got into a situation where I just didn't trust doctors anymore because of the choices that they had made for me. When I was 18, I ended up in the hospital with bleeding ulcers, and they sent me home with Valium. Very strong, high dose of Valium, and all I did was just lay around. So from that experience, I didn't really trust a medical profession because I really realized the word practicing is exactly correct. And if they're going to practice with a pharmaceutical that controls and manipulates you, I didn't want any part of it. Well, I found myself realizing after I'd taken care of my own problems with herbs that I wanted to get an education. This was back in the 70s, 1970s. And I wanted to find a college that would give me the education I needed to be able to help myself and also to help other people. Because as I was helping myself, other people were saying, wow, what are you doing? And they were seeking my help. And I realized, wow, that's what I needed to do. That's what I was going to do. Well, at that time, there was really only 2 colleges that taught herbology, one in Europe, one in Canada. Since then, there's been a tremendous amount of colleges pop up. The problem that most people have today is that herbology is being bastardized at the very root. You will go to a health food store and you'll pick up a beautiful book Oh, it's a beautiful book, and it just looks, oh, like it's got a tremendous amount of charts and information, and it just, it's about herbs. And then you start reading it, and it begins to scare you into, well, I don't want to use that herb, and oh, my goodness, I don't want to use that herb. And then you realize, oh, it was written by an MD. What do the MDs know about herbs? It's like going to a Chevy dealer and asking him about a Dodge. They're going to tell you all the bad things. Now, I'm not saying that there's medical doctors that don't know about herbology. But if medical doctors wrote the book and they don't have any training in herbology, they have no clue what they're talking about. And let me explain it to you. Want me to explain it to you? I'll explain it to you. I'm not even going to mess with that one. Okay, we have a plant, and it's got elements in it. Hydrogen, carbon, phosphorus, nitrogen, potassium. You know, it's just a very complex chemical compound. Now, they know that this plant does a certain thing. Now, I'm trying to justify the fact that doctors think they're herbalists. And they know, okay, this right down here, this little guy right down here is the active ingredient. This is the remedy. This is the remedy. Pick an herb. Valerian root.
Golden seal.
Golden seal. Golden seal. Golden seal is an awesome herb, but the remedy they're going to say is this alkaloid. That's why it works. So then, just they go in, they chemically create that alkaloid. Okay? They don't grow the plant. They don't isolate the nutrient. They chemically recreate it, and then they give it to their test subjects and find out, wow, it works great. And then they figure out, wow, it caused liver damage or if they were pregnant, it caused abortion. It just all kinds of different things. And so instead of them saying that their chemical, which they created, GC42, because they tried it 42 different times, GC42 failed miserably. They don't tell that to the press. They say, Golden Seal has a chemical in it that will cause abortion in early trimester, it's dangerous. Is it? Absolutely not. But they write a book, and they, oh my goodness, they got all kinds of money behind them. It's a beautiful book. It's marketed. It's just all kinds of stuff, but it's written by pharmacists and doctors. And the doctor knows that the Golden Seal has this alkaloid in it, and that's what this alkaloid does it, so Golden Seal is dangerous. That's how they do it. Let me show you, for instance. I'm going to walk out of frame. Now, I know you probably can't see me, but we have a problem. We have an illness with this room. The illness with this room is we don't have radar like bats, and we can't see. It's dark. So we have a problem with this room, don't we? The remedy to this room, the solution to this room, is light. Okay? Thus, we have a room that has a solution to other problems in other rooms that are dark. That's called electricity. That is the remedy to the solution of being dark. Okay, you following me? So the remedy is electricity. Okay, electricity. So what we're going to do is we're going to isolate the electricity out of this room. We're going to take it and put it into other rooms, but the problem is that it's put in here synergistically. There's conduit, there's wire that has plastic on it, there's little connectors that connect other wires. It's put in properly. Is this dangerous? Is this electricity in this room dangerous? Absolutely not. But if I isolate it all by itself and then we have electricity, it's very dangerous. That's what happens when they isolate the remedy out of an entire plant. Out of an entire plant, it becomes dangerous. So the problem, back to the point, kind of went around the bushes, didn't we? Back to the point is the prettier the book, the more letters behind the names, if they're not in natural therapies, the book you should avoid. And when I began writing and doing research, I got a book. And just for that purpose, and oh my goodness, it's I mean, it has scared me in, oh, I shouldn't take cinnamon. I shouldn't do this. I mean, even peppermint had a problem. And it was written by people that should know. Well, a doctor doesn't mean he knows all. He knows disease. He knows chemicals, but he knows chemicals, but he does not know herbology unless he has studied it. So I would challenge anyone that has written a book that hasn't a degree in natural therapies or has practice in natural therapies, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. So faced with this onslaught of trying to destroy natural therapies with wonderful information, okay, with their pretty books and their degrees and they're devaluating all kinds of herbs, they have scared the American people into, when I give a person peppermint, they say, oh, is this safe? Oh, my goodness. Is broccoli safe? Is cauliflower safe? It's part of our dietary. The thing you need to realize is these plants grow in the crust of the earth. If you look at assay the body, our body is pretty much the same nutrients as the crust of the earth. Well, these plants grow in the crust of the earth and nourish our bodies. We need calcium in our body, but we can't eat a rock, calcium carbonate. We can't get it out of the crust of the earth. It's got to go through a plant, then we eat the plant, and then we have the nutrients. Herbology and herbs are merely those plants that have nutrients that nourish and feed our body. You have a question? There's water in this jug. In this water is a dangerous, dangerous chemical. It's hydrogen. It will explode. In fact, there's enough hydrogen here in here to blow this entire building into little bitty pieces. I'm not afraid to drink that water because whoever created that water did it correctly. In fact, science hasn't even been able to isolate the hydrogen out of that to take the power and to utilize it. Also combined with that is an accelerant, which is oxygen. You put oxygen into an explosion and it accelerates it. So they have made the public afraid of taking an herb because it has this little thing here. Okay? I use nature's taste buds to tell whether a plant should be used a lot or a little. Golden seal is a nasty herb. Therefore, I believe that it should be used when you're sick or need it. It's not a daily supplement unless you have a problem. Okay? Peppermint. Well, you mentioned comfrey. Comfrey is yummy. So it is an herb that you can use daily with no problems at all. Should you be afraid of them? No. We should respect and use them with wisdom and judgment. It's like green apples or apples. If you eat too many apples, what you get? A bellyache and the runs. If you eat too much golden seal, you might get a bellyache and the runs. Same thing. But is it a bad bellyache? Well, it teaches you never to do that dosage again, but it also may have cleaned out the colon or the body that would facilitate better health. So be afraid of them? No. If I drink that water or I take that herb and it breaks it down molecularly, carbon and hydrogen, it breaks all these apart and then it puts them all, you know, hydrogen and carbon in, and then when you need some certain element for a metabolic process, it recombines it. A lot of people will say, well, oh my goodness, you hardly eat any meat. You need some protein to grow muscle, okay? You need to realize that the essential amino acids, all that means is that in that amino acid, there is a nutrient that our body cannot produce. So it needs to be taken in. So therefore, they call it an essential amino acid, which in reality, all that is essential is a phosphorus or whatever that we can't produce. Okay? Thus, they say, this is an essential amino acid. This one's an essential amino acid. This, crazy. It's an it contains an essential nutrient. So those essential nutrients can come into the body and make up that amino acid without us eating that amino acid particularly. Do you understand? As long as we have sulfur, and that's in onions, okay, and different things. Do you understand? So can we take too much? We need to be pay attention, but if there's too much, those nutrients are used in other metabolic processes. That's oversimplified, but you do need to realize that if it tastes good, you can use it a lot. If it tastes nasty, I would have a tendency to use it more sparingly, like medicine. That answer your question?
It does. I think I'm taking two herbs that have golden seal in them, but just don't worry about it. I mean, I've been doing that for 5 months.
I wouldn't worry about that at all, especially if they're my formulas. Because the thing is they're synergistic. It's like this. It's like you thinking, well, electricity is dangerous. I need to stay out of all buildings that have electricity. No. Yes, electricity is dangerous. But in this building, it's synergistic. And that's the same way with those herbal formulas. That formula becomes a unit. It becomes a building, a therapy station versus a single nutrient. Okay? And that maybe that's true, but I'd also say that you have the constitution of a grizzly bear. Okay, golden seal is kind of unique tasting. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, but it boosts the immune system. Doctors, the MDs that write these books would say, well, in golden seal there's a blood thinner. If you take too much, you could bleed internally. Well, yeah, there's a blood thinner, but all these others help to be normal and natural and doesn't take it beyond where it ought to be. Okay? Mm-hmm. Question off the internet, Scott?
I do. There's a lady that has fibromyalgia, and she's asking, she was told to take Arthrite for fibromyalgia, but she says, well, arthritis and fibromyalgia are different, aren't they?
Yes and no. Let me give you an instance. If you had lung problems, I wouldn't care whether it was bronchitis or no bronchial pneumonia or viral pneumonia or asthma. It wouldn't matter to me. Because what I do is I feed and nourish systems, okay? And with any muscular aches, pain, joint pain, and discomfort, it's all the same nutrient deficiencies. So fibromyalgia, arthritis, rheumatism, lumbago, all of those type of problems stem from the same nutritional deficiencies. Thank you for your question. The problem that we have is that the medical profession doesn't want to treat you unless they put a name on it. Because, unfortunately, whether you want to believe it or not, once they put a name on it, they go to a protocol book that was written by the pharmaceutical companies. It wasn't written by the doctors. And it says, okay, if you've got lumbago, you do this and this. If you've got asthma, you do this and this. It's not a matter of being treated anymore. It's a matter of diagnosing to find out what the problem is so they can go to the protocol section and use those protocols that were written by someone. I feel sorry for doctors. I feel there's some really awesome, wonderful doctors out there that their hands are tied in that this is their pharmacology. Yeah, they have a little bit of, you can use this and this and this chemical, but you still need to give them a diuretic or an inflammatory or whatever. We're not treating illness. We're nourishing the body. Another question?
I did have another one. There's a young lady that asked, does breast tenderness equal cancer?
No, it does not. You need to understand that, do we want to go down the cancer road? Well, let's go down the cancer road, because I think it's important that women understand breast tenderness and cancer. Do you have what it generally means is not that there's cancer. It generally means that the hormones in the body are not proper, okay? The best thing to take care of breast tenderness is Dong Quai. And that's also pronounced don't cry. Okay, don't cry, not just don't cry. With breast tenderness, the nice thing about don't cry is that the body can synthesize estrogen or progesterone out of that. I'd also use probably tonic F along with that, because then the body can synthesize the hormones necessary. If there's any lumping or tenderness or things like that, you'd want to have it checked out by someone that knew what they were doing. Lumps and those type of things are concerning. But the nice thing about don't cry is generally that solves that problem without any other further problems. If there's tenderness, I like it gone, because it's not, it's typical, but it's not normal. Okay? Any other questions at all about any other subject? Okay? How many of you have tried to encapsulate? Have you ever tried to encapsulate? Were you very successful?
Oh, well, it takes a long time. You got to stuff them. You got to take half an hour to stuff them up.
Okay, I'm going to give you a secret. I prefer to encapsulate by hand in a little bowl. Now, of course, this is drawn like this. Little bowl without corners. And what I do is I pour the powder. This is cayenne, I guess. I pour the herb in the bottom of the bowl. Then I take the capsule. Now, the capsule's in two portions. There's the bigger part, and then there's the lid. And I take the bigger part, and I hold it upside down, and I tap it into the powder. Tap it into the powder. And as it pushes down, it actually packs just two or three taps, and it's full. Instead of this scoopy stuff, because air pushes it, air won't let it happen. You take it and tap it down in there, tap, 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 and you can even tap the lid. And boy, you could pack it tighter and harder than any pharmaceutical grade machine can do it. I can do by hand 85 an hour. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's for several hours. Okay? And so, like, for instance, you mentioned that you like Golden Seal. If you wanted to do Golden Seal, which is, I mean, expensive stuff, you don't want to take a capsule that's hardly got anything in it. You want that puppy packed. Okay? So take it, mound up your powder, and tap it down. And don't take it all the way out of the powder. Tap it in, move it, tap it in, move it, you know, to where you're still in the powder. Tap it, tap it, tap it, and it'll fill it up. And then you can also fill up the lid. And you can make a real packed herb. Very simple. If you also want to see, there is a video of me demonstrating that on drugfreehelp.com, and it's in the herb section. There's a little YouTube video, and I think it's maybe 2 or 3 minutes that will give you a little bit more instructions. So if you like Golden Seal and bee pollen or whatever you like mixed together, and you can't find it, or maybe you want some just plain old ginger or whatever, or cinnamon, go get it and make it yourself. Because you're not going to take more than 85 or 40, you know, you're not going to take a whole bunch of it. So it's nice because you can get fresh herbs, encapsulate them, and take them. Okay? But this, I've made all kinds of stuff. I've made funnels. I've made all kinds of different ways to encapsulate. They have these little machines to where you put them in there and you scrape them, get powder in. What I found with those is if you'll take an eraser, a pencil with an eraser, and pack it down, then fill it up, and then pack it down, then fill it up, pack, then you can do it real well there. They encapsulate anywhere from 100 to 25, but this method works very, very well.
Okay. Thank you.
I need you to understand this book, Reality of Herbal Therapy. There is a seminar that the apprenticeship is a $1,700 course. This apprenticeship also includes this book. I am having a herbal seminar that is going to take basically the major portion of that $1,700 apprenticeship. We're going to spend 2 Saturdays. Scott, bring that literature in here. That those days of that seminar are coming up. We've got one in November. November what, Scott? 23rd and 30th. Let me have one of those. 23rd and 30th. The schedule for this is we're going to start at 10 o'clock. We're going to start, and this is both days, 10 to 1. Then you'll have a break. Then 2 to 4. And then there will be a bonus class if you want to attend and invite anyone you want, 10 to 6. That's on both Saturdays. Gives you an hour break for lunch and different things like that. We are going to, the first week, introduce this book, how to use it, why to use it, and then entertain those questions, and then we're going to deal with specific questions on the second Saturday. This course is a $1,700 course. $1,700. But I am so dedicated in wanting to educate people that this two-weekend course is $97. You also need to come up with Reality of Herbal Therapy. This book is $39.95. Here at the facility, it's $29.95. So it comes to less than $130 for this course. This is packed with information. The questions, we've got a tremendous amount of people on the internet that are already signed up. We're going to have people here at this facility, but we'll entertain everybody's questions. Are there any questions about this particular seminar at all? Okay, are there any other questions on the internet that we need to deal with, Scott? Okay. Okay, bedwetting a lot of times is some children have an allergy to milk. It's not that they break out or they have a stomach ache, but I generally tell mothers don't give these children milk after 2 o'clock because there's it numbs the nerve in the bladder and they don't even know that they're needing to urinate. Okay, so no milk after 2 o'clock. And then there's a herbal formula called Bladney that helps nourish the nervous system. There's three reasons why kids wet the bed. And it could be one or all of them. It could be nerves. The kid's high-strung and nervous, and every time he wets the bed, you scream and holler at him and embarrass him, and it's a stressful situation. I'm not saying that it's not frustrating. I'm saying that that cycle feeds itself, okay? Or an infection. Or muscle tone. So what I do is I tell little boys, if they're little boys, to sit down and start urinating and try to stop the flow of urine. That's not something that you want them to do when they're standing up. Okay? Trust me. Okay, you want to have them urinate and then try to stop the flow of urine. You have them play a game. Girls too. And have them try to stop the flow of urine. That's exercising the Kegel muscle. If you've had children, you know what the Kegel muscle is. That helps the muscle tone, then staying off milk, and then narcolizer if they're high-strung, child, and Bladney. Those two formulas work awesome. Okay? Anything else?
There's also, along the lines, talk about Bladney. They said that they went into the store and someone gave them Bladney for gout.
Bladney for gout. Good clerk. I'm glad they did. I use Bladney along with arthrite with gout because gout, there's crystals in the joints and the muscles and the tissues, uric acid, and that helps filter that uric acid out. So gout, part of gout therapy is Bladney and arthrite. Okay, no other questions?
Well, he had one other question.
Boy, he's quick.
I just asked him one at a time. The other one was, is there anything else you would take?
Arthrite. And change your pH. We got pH. It's so terribly critical. If you're around me, you're going to know that I have some hot buttons. I've got 6 hot buttons, okay? pH is a very hot one. In America today, most people that come in to see me are around 5. That scale goes from 0 to 14. gout lives below 7. Okay? Gout lives below 7. Most people come in around 5. I like people between 7 and 8. Mold, fungus, cancer, yeast, virus, all dies at 7.2. Now, that doesn't mean that, wow, I've got urine of 7.2, I should be well. No, it takes quite some time to replace the tissues that are acidic and rehydrogenate them, re-alkalize them. Okay, so it takes a period of time. But mold, fungus, yeast, all kinds of irritants grow below 7.2. So that's the magical number. Okay? Thank you all for being with me today. I appreciate your questions. And those that are on the internet, go to healthandweightlossclinic.com/seminar, and you can download the and make yourself available to be in this seminar. We will keep that open until 12:30. You have the ability to do this until 12:30. After we get the seminar full, it will have to be next time. Next time, when is the next time, Scott? November, it's on the same page, Scott. February?
15 and 22.
15 and 22. Thank you. We're going to put you on the staff. 22. Okay. So, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.